Hi, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Coming up, we'll be interviewing two people. And here's a puzzle to figure out who they are. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay, one of them has been on the podcast before with another person who has been on the podcast many times. And the other has never been on the podcast before, but has the same first name as someone who's on the podcast every time and someone who writes for Odyssey.
And if you can figure out that convoluted riddle/promo before we get to the interview, well, you're better than Jones and Parker.
That's true. And here's the latest news. The new Adventures in Odyssey Bible is now available.
This Bible features the full text of the New International Reader's Version and comes in hardcover or Italian leatherette.
Leatherette. Wow. Now that's a word we don't use often enough. This Bible has more than 1,000 additional features, including devotions, trivia, and more. All from the characters in Odyssey.
To tell us more about it, let's hear from two people who were highly involved in this book.
Do you think anyone's guessed who they are yet?
Yeah, chances are slim. Let's solve the mystery.
Okay, it's editor Liz Duckworth and Focus on the Family VP of Content and Product Development and Integration, Bob DeMoss.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
Let's chat with them about a very important topic, the Bible.
Liz and Bob, thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Great to be
Glad
with you.
Glad to be here.
Now, Bob, you've got an impressive title there as VP, but what exactly do you do? I know you're over books and magazines and films and all that kind of fun stuff at Focus.
Well, it's funny. My 12-year-old son, Danny, says, well, Dad, you're the king of Odyssey. And I said, I wouldn't call it that, but yeah, the content teams, that includes the Odyssey and our radio theater teams and the magazine group and books. I have the privilege of working alongside of them.
Let's talk about the vision for the Bible. I know that Bibles have changed a little bit. You worked with another organization and had a lot of firsthand experience with branding Bibles and those kinds of things. Talk about what your vision was for another Odyssey Bible.
One of the things that I'm passionate about is engaging more kids in the Bible more often. And when I noticed that we had not one but two previous editions of the Adventures in Odyssey Bible, which went out of print about 17 years ago, I said, we've got to come back with a brand new, wholly designed product that will do three things. It'll help kids listen to the heart of God so that they can learn more about His passion for them, His unconditional love for them, and then how to live it out. So it's listen, learn, and live, and practically apply. So from the ground up, we try to design this in such a way that they would, with the help of our friends from Odyssey, truly get into the heart of God and apply it to their life.
You know, publishing a Bible is a monumental task. I mean, when you think about it, this is the Word of God you're dealing with. So obviously it's not a new Bible with brand new books from the Bible, but it has other specific content. So talk more about the age group that this Bible is for and what makes it different from other Bibles.
Well, the fanboys and girls of Adventures in Odyssey, if I can say that, are pretty much in the 8 to 12 range, but we have people who are truck drivers at 50 who are listening to Odyssey and who love it, and they follow along passionately. Our family goes on road trips, and we've got Eugene Witt and the whole gang Wooten traveling with us. So I looked at that and I said, well, there's a lot of great spiritual insight and wisdom that comes through the characters in the land of Odyssey that align beautifully with the scriptural text. And so one on-ramp into scripture is when we can combine the two. So what makes this different than, say, other, say, study Bibles or other children's Bibles, some other children's Bibles are, there's not actually the text of the Bible. It's like Bible stories. So the Action Bible, it's a great storytelling device, but there's no actual text per se. So that's different here about the Odyssey Bible. It's 100% Genesis through Revelation, but we layer in the insights and we get help from Eugene with the 66 book intros and so on to help a fan of Odyssey connect the dots within Scripture.
You mentioned the Action Bible, Bob. We had the privilege of working with artist Sergio Carrillo on the artwork. He worked on the Action Bible. Talk about our relationship with him and what made you think to bring him in.
Well, we were looking at, okay, we've used Gary Locke's artwork, his amazing work, for many years. And, so I said, well, I'm also familiar with, you know, Sergio's work, and I think the two complement each other. And I like the fact that Sergio is a Marvel DC comic, you know, world-class artist. And so I thought, well, for this edition, let's tap into his skill set. He has a heart to reach young people with the scripture.
Well, I was a little concerned that we may not be able to get him because we were on a very fast track. We got off to a very quick start on this project. We started with the comic book stories, and we had 8 of them to be illustrated, 32 pages worth of artwork. And I thought, that's a lot of work. You're going to need somebody to get going right away. And Sergio's a popular man. He's tremendously in demand. But the Lord planned it so that when I gave him that call, he had some projects that were coming, but they were further down the line, and he had open time. And he was so gracious to work with us. He has such a heart for the Lord and such a heart for kids, and he knows Bible. He understands what are the people wearing, what does the world look like, because he'd done all that research before. So he was just a joy to work with.
Well, let's go back to the beginning, not Genesis in the Bible, but the genesis of this project, because I understand you had a meeting with a consultant who told you that takes at least 2 years to create a new Bible. You guys did this in an incredibly fast time frame. So how did you get all that work done, and exactly how long did it take from start to finish?
There's an interesting backstory there. This gentleman, Chris Hudson, is somebody that I worked with when I was at Zondervan. Chris is a world-class Bible developer. So Chris flew out and we mapped the Bible, which is an all-day process in which you lay out all 66 books and you look at the feature set. That's the different features, whether it's Wit's Wisdom or the Jason's Jargon or, you know, Wooten's Fun Facts and so on. And you map out where they go in order to have a nice mix throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. This started in, I think, September of 2016. And I said, okay, we will get this manuscript to you by, and I think it was like January.
Well, November 15th was our first deadline.
Right.
Between September. And I know, I have to laugh because we finished our meeting on a Friday, and on Monday I started connecting with our team of writers. I just told everybody, here's how much time you have, here's how much time we need on our end to review everything and send it through proofreading. And so we had our schedule, we moved forward, and we hit our date.
Start to finish, 9 months. And that's just
an
incredible feat.
And that would be amazing if that was the only project you were working on.
Right.
Of course, your team also has other things that they had commitments to as well. You had other deadlines.
Yes, and I know our writers and other people in our group who were heavily tasked with a big part of the review process had many other things on their plates. I personally was pretty much fully devoted to this. And I will admit, I would wake up in the middle of the night and be praying for Sergio and praying that he would be able to complete that work and keep us on track, because there's so much that's not within our control. It really is in God's hands.
I should say there's an addition to the editorial side. There's a lot of other stuff that goes on. Checking out all kinds of different papers and the thickness, the mill of the paper. And if it's too thick, the Bible's too thick and too heavy. And yet if it's too thin, pages tear quickly and they bleed through, or they're not, the page isn't that bright and it's hard on your eyes. So there's all these considerations. And then when we went to go to print it, I had to hop on an airplane and go out to Crawfordsville, Indiana, to do what they call press check, which means after we had it all laid out and designed, ready to go, they could put it up on these huge metal plates. So the plate is what holds the ink to print on the paper. And I would say that one plate's about the size of a 4x8 sheet of plywood. These are huge. And so then they start to the press, and you have, you know, the four colors going through. And then at the end of the line, you want to pull off and take a look at the pages and say, you know what? The black is too dark, or the blue is too bright, or the lines aren't. So we would lay these pages out on a huge light table that was about, I don't know, 50 feet long. And we have all the signatures, the individual bindings of the pages. And we'd take out a loop, which is like, you know, kind of a Inspector Clouseau kind of a thing. And you would like study each page to make sure all the lining, and so there's no blurring and all that kind of thing. A lot of stuff that you wouldn't know that goes into behind the scenes just to get what we're having here in our hands today.
Bob, do you remember your first Bible and what encouraged you to read it as a kid?
I do. I can remember my dad sitting. We used to have devotions every night at dinner. That was kind of our family routine. And my dad brought a Good News translation of the Bible, Good News for Modern Man. And in it, they had these little character, hand-drawn, real simplistic, black and white
imagery.
Yeah, I remember those.
Remember those? Yep.
Annie Vallotton is the artist, celebrated probably more copies of her art in the world than any other person. Because the Good News for Modern Man translation of that Bible sold, I don't know, 500,000 or more units times 700 and some images each. So when you do the math, it's an awful lot of her art out there. Well, I was captivated. I can remember my dad would read along and then he'd hold it up and we'd look at the picture. And, you know, they say a picture, 1,000 words, that kind of a thing. And so it really allowed me to let my imagination transport me into the gist of the story.
Liz, how about you? Was there a Bible that had an impact on you when you were a kid?
Well, when I was growing up, my family did go to church, but they also started skiing when I was about 12. And I was not raised in a real Bible reading, Bible studying home. But I became a Christian when I was 18 years old, and remarkably, the same first Bible that I had that truly had meaning in my life was also Good News for Modern Man. And I remember those illustrations to this day, and it was so accessible to me. I could read it and understand it. And actually, the man I am still married to, my husband, is the one who led me to the Lord. And shortly after becoming a Christian, he got me a copy of the Living Bible, which was brand new at that time. And again, I read it, and it spoke to my heart because I didn't have to have a background. I didn't have to understand anything about how the Bible came to us. It was just clear as could be and taught me what I needed to know about loving Jesus.
Can you talk a little bit about how kids develop that biblical worldview and why it's so important for those foundations to be laid when they're young?
Well, we have a lot of verses or portions of scripture where God talks about, especially in Deuteronomy and even in the Psalms, where it talks about tell the great and wondrous deeds of the Lord to your children so that they will in turn tell it to their children, and that there would be this ongoing process of discipleship so that we would not forget the wondrous deeds of our Lord and how he was mighty to save. So one reason why our whole team has been passionate about creating this Bible so that at a young age where the window of openness to the things of God are wide open, that they would hear clearly. And then hopefully that would be, you know, imprinted on their kind of burnished on their heart.
Liz, Bob, your team has done an amazing job on this project. In fact, just flipping through it makes me want to have it on my own shelf. Where can people go to actually handle this Bible and get a look at it themselves?
Well, it's exciting to get news that Hobby Lobby is bringing this into all 800 of their stores.
Wow.
So we're thrilled about that. Mardell's bringing it into their stores, all 34 or 6 of their stores. Lifeway is putting it in their stores. And it's the kind of thing where you can go in and actually, like you said, pick it up, explore it, see it for yourself. And of course, there's, you know, AIOBible.com that you can get directly from us here at Focus on the Family.
Well, Bob, Liz, thanks so much for coming in and joining us on the podcast today.
Thanks for having us.
It's been awesome.
Well, Jesse, I really hope this Bible does help Odyssey fans and readers everywhere dig into Scripture.
More kids reading the Bible? You have to get excited about that.
Oh, you bet.
Well, that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
That address to check out the Bible is AIOBible.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God's Word in your life, every day's an adventure.